Hello. Welcome to another episode of Deep Roots Forward Thinking, the podcast series by the Young Lockwood Sauer team at UBS in Houston. I am your host, Liz DeMontron, one of the financial advisors on the team. For compliance purposes, our team's phone number is 713-940-2872. As always, I'm very happy to be here today. So we are recording this January 2024, and I feel like beginning of the year typically marks, you know, kickoffs for like certain regional traditions and seasons. So New Orleans, they're getting ready for Mardi Gras, right? Football fans, Taylor Swift fans gearing up for the NFL playoffs that are happening right now. And in Houston, I feel like it's rodeo season. So today we have here with me, with us, two of my colleagues who are very involved in the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. So first I want to introduce Crystal Maxwell, who's a financial advisor here at UBS and the newest addition to our team. Welcome, Crystal.
Thank you.
And I also want to welcome Ann Page, who is the Associate Market Executive for the Texas Market at UBS. Thank you for joining, ladies.
Thank you. Morning.
Good to be here.
Yes. And we were just talking, you know, in our prep call, again, I was blown away at how much there is to discuss when it comes to the rodeo. So I know we're excited to dive in. Really quick, I want to give my dad a shout out. My dad works for the rodeo. Hi, Dad. I know he's about to be very busy. So thank you for all that you do, Dad. You know, with that, I'd love to give each of you maybe a few minutes to introduce yourselves, tell us more about what you do at UBS, and explain how you're involved with the rodeo.
So I have been here at UBS for about 20 years as a financial advisor. This is the only firm I've been with in this career. So happy to be here. And I help clients with all things money related. So planning for long-term goals, funding, short-term needs, and everything in between. So really enjoy that. On the rodeo side, I've been involved with the rodeo almost that long, about 18 years. And I've been on various committees over the years. One of my main committees that I've been on the longest is the Trailblazer Committee. That's probably where I've done the most. And that committee is responsible for promoting literacy around Houston. We do that through a writing competition, through book drives. We host a rodeo read-along during the rodeo. And then the other side of the committee is we honor the female volunteers of the rodeo. So there's still fewer female volunteers, at least in upper echelons of the rodeo, than males. So still trying to promote them. The other two committees that I'm on currently are the Horticulture Committee and Western Art.
Incredible. Just the range of, you know, in terms of what you can be involved with at the rodeo. So amazing. How about you, Anne?
So I've been involved with UBS for the last 43 years, part of that in New York in the home office, and then the rest of it out here working with financial advisors like yourselves, as well as clients. So Crystal and I do some work together for women, where we're doing a lot of educational work to try and get more women up to speed in terms of financial affairs. But in addition to that, I work with all of the different financial advisors around our six offices that are located here in Houston. So we have a variety of different jobs within that role, but essentially, you know, my favorite part of that role is working with people like yourselves. As far as the rodeo goes, oh my God, I've been with the rodeo for 25 years. My original first committee was the lamb and goat auction that I'm still a part of. And so we support the kids that raise a lamb or a goat. And then they show it at the show, and then they're auctioned off by a lot of people who are like happily give up not only their time, but their treasure to the rodeo. And I think at the rodeo, our last auction, you could have bought the award-winning lamb for $350,000. So, yeah, not a cheap lamb. But it's amazing the amount of money that people choose to donate and utilize their philanthropy at the rodeo. It's amazing. I sit on the board of the rodeo, and there's 110 different committees. I think they've added a couple more this year, so there might be a couple more. So there's a committee out there for anybody that might be interested in whatever your focus is for your philanthropy and where you want to give your time and the groups that you want to hang out with.
You know, Houston's such a big philanthropic city. There's a lot of different causes and I think groups that people can reach out to and give to and support. How did each of y'all gravitate towards the rodeo?
So I have a little bit of background in Western heritage. I grew up overseas, but I always knew I was from Texas, and I always kind of claimed that Texan part to my heart. But I went to boarding school for high school in Colorado, and I had horses there, and I was involved with the National Western Stock Show and Rodeo in Denver, where I showed horses. And so that was kind of my first rodeo that I had ever actually attended, and just thoroughly enjoyed that experience while I was there. And so when I moved back to Houston for college, I was so excited to go to rodeo. And I remember being able to afford it because I was a broke college student and you could get tickets for $10 and go see all these people. And it was the best thing ever. And so I've been going to the rodeo ever since. And then as you start to volunteer, you know, in the beginning for me, it was for the volunteer perks, like being able to get onto the grounds and get into the stadium without a ticket. That was a big deal for me when in those younger days. And then as you get more involved, you realize what an amazing organization it is. And it really sucks you in and you start just wanting to give more and it becomes your passion and it becomes your family and your social structure too. And so you just start saying yes a lot more and taking on a lot more things.
Yeah, it's you very quickly get brought into other parts of the rodeo very fast the longer that you serve. I started with the rodeo because I had always been a volunteer my whole life and had that 1% of your income and 1% of your time should be donated. So that's where, you know, I started from a mentality standpoint. So when I moved to Houston, I was asking around, it's like, well, so, like, you know, what do people do for philanthropy here? And everybody I talked to said the rodeo. And I was like, okay. It's like I used to ride horses and stuff. It's like, you know, I sort of understand the concept.
Get back on the horse.
Yeah, it's like not a big deal. I had no idea what I was looking at, right? Because it's like we were talking the other day about explaining to people who don't know the rodeo what it is. And it was like, all right, so if you take the largest series of concerts, the largest rodeo that you've ever seen with cowboys and critters, and then the largest carnival you've ever seen, and the largest state fair you've ever seen, and then the largest shopping mall you've ever seen, and what am
and
I missing?
The largest wine competition
wine
you've
competition,
ever seen.
Yeah, and the biggest wine store and whatever. And then all of a sudden, you put all of those things together in a 20-day time period. That's the rodeo. So it's like, it's hard to explain that to people who haven't seen it. So you just need to come out and see it. You just need to come out and volunteer. We have something for everybody at the rodeo, and it's just, it's an amazing organization, and they keep it fresh, right? One of the things I really like about it is the way that the rodeo is set up, there's a hierarchy to it. So Pat Mann Phillips, our first chairman of the board, we're so excited for her.
First female
chairman of the board this year. And then underneath her are vice presidents, and then underneath them are chairmen of the different committees. So multiple committees report to one individual vice president. And then under the chairman of the committees, there's vice chairman, there's captains, assistant captains. They think
I'm a captain.
You're a captain on
Trailblazer.
Trailblazer on the Trailblazer committee that I'm also on. Love that. And then those positions rotate every 3 years. So it keeps new ideas coming into the rodeo, but it also keeps tradition. You know, we're very tight on our long-term tradition. It's been around since, 1932? So there's a lot of tradition at the rodeo. But the leadership of the rodeo changes out every 3 years. It's an amazing thing.
Could each of y'all go through maybe some of your favorite things about the rodeo?
Ooh, it's like asking who your favorite kid is,
yeah, right?
It's like, I'll mention a couple of things that maybe people don't know about that we were talking about the other day. So there's celebrity goat milking, which is something to be seen.
Wild, yeah.
Right? It's a wild time. And the sheepdog trials are very fun. The old ranch rodeos that are over in the horse arena are just a different kind of rodeo, but it's fascinating. People shooting from the back of horses and penning and doing different things. And then I'm a big fan of the wine garden and the critters. So the kids are raising animals, whether it's, you know, rabbits or chickens or bulls or lambs and goats, and then they're showing them at the show. And they show them in a variety of different ways. And the ag mechanics kids that make these unbelievable projects where they'll, you know, make a gooseneck trailer or they'll make gates or they'll make, you know, any kind of equipment that somebody could ask for that would exist on a ranch. And those kids are just off the wall, crazy good.
I think one of my favorite things that we haven't brought up yet is the trail ride. So we still have different trails that are working, and a group of people get together on horseback and they start way out in the outskirts of Texas and make their way into the center of Houston on horseback, just like they did back in the day. And when you start to see trail riders coming down I-10 and heading towards Memorial Park, you know rodeo's coming, and it's so exciting to still see that. So I just love to see the trail riders get to town.
How long does that take?
They're all different lengths. So some of them are short. I think there's salt grass. They're all named. Some of them, I think the longest one is maybe 2 weeks.
Probably, yeah.
Wow. So you're camping out. You are, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
How neat.
So that kind of starts everything officially. And then you get into that weekend where you have the parade and the run, the rodeo run that I typically do a lot of years. And then you've got cook-off. And so, you know, you've got this kind of crescendo. And then the rodeo actually starts to start. So there's lots of those pre-rodeo activities that are still part of the whole organization that are a lot of fun. During the actual rodeo, I really like to see the exhibits. I know Ann mentioned the ag mechanics and to see the trailers. I remember one year I went and there was this hot pink, sparkly, metallic
yes,
trailer.
The girls did the trailer. It was awesome.
Welded. And I'm like, oh yeah, a Barbiecore trailer. I am all over this. But I like all the other things. I love to take a look at the school art, the quilts, the flower arrangements. The flower arrangements are really pretty. That's why I joined the horticulture committee, because I thought they were so neat. So I like to just see what the kids have brought in, and in addition to what you would typically think about as far as rodeo type stuff, like your animals and that kind of thing.
And it's fun to interact with all of the people that have come into the rodeo in a variety of different ways, right? So we do the read-along thing where we'll read to kids. That's a part of the Trailblazer Committee. But in addition to that, like, you can walk around and talk to the kids, you know, that are, you don't touch their animals. That's the one thing you got to be careful of, because they're, you know, set up for the show. But, you know, talk to the kids about what their experience was in raising that critter, and how did they, you know, get started, and, you know, and the families are all there camped out with the kids. I mean, it's just really a special time. So, and don't get me wrong, I love the concerts. I love the professional rodeo in the stadium. You know, those are kind of like a highlight as well. But I really like interacting with the people.
I also love calf scramble. So that's during the rodeo. One of the last events of the rodeo before the concert starts is calf scramble. And they bring out all these kids, I think mainly high school kids, and they let loose 100 calves. And then all the high school kids kind of run and try to catch a calf. And if they do, then they get a stipend to go and purchase their own that they can then bring back and show. But it ends up being hilarious. You see a lot of kids that like fall, try and grab in a tail and get drug along, and it's like, you go, girl.
A few times I feel like I've seen a calf pretend to play dead.
Yes.
And I got very concerned, and then it got up and ran away.
As soon as you take the rope off, they just get up and run away. Yeah,
so there's so much to see. You know, a lot of what y'all have talked about so far is the volunteering. You know, I'd love to hear more about the scale, the size of the volunteers at the rodeo, and why you feel like these volunteers keep coming back year after year, because it seems like it's a huge driving force. It is the driving force of the rodeo.
If you think about it, so like this organization is the like one of the largest scholarship organizations in the country, and it's run by 36,000 volunteers and 100, you know, employees of the show. But the rest of it is all done by volunteers. I mean, each part of the organization has their part to play, whether it's setting up equipment or, you know, making sure that you move critters and children from one place to another. So everybody's got pieces of it. And it's amazing when you see it all come together. When you're at the rodeo, if you see somebody that has a gold badge on and a variety of vests, but even if you don't have the vest on, everybody's got their badge on, you know, that's a rodeo volunteer. And that's somebody who's chosen to give their time. Again, it's a family. So we all, you know, are very tight in touch with each other and meet throughout the year and make sure that, you know, that everybody's taken care of. You know, even in times of stress in the city, we're, you know, everybody checks in on each other and we have phone trees and all kinds of things. So it's a huge social event, family, friends. I tell people when they move to the city, like I did, it's like, you know, join the rodeo as a volunteer, find your committee there. You'll meet 1,000 people. You know, it's a, just a great way to get introduced to the people of the city.
I think for me, what has been important is that I feel like I'm making a difference. It's impactful. It's not just silly volunteering where, you know, I feel like, you know, could be a waste of time. And it's fun. So I'm making an impact and I'm having fun. So that's why I keep coming back every year. And that's why I keep adding more to my plate every year, because I really enjoy it. And I get that satisfaction that I'm having an impact. So
that's so great. And around horses, which it sounds like, yes. Yeah.
Well, I will say, like, one of the things that a lot of people don't know is there's a special children's horse show that happens before the rodeo starts. I think it's the 16th and 17th of February this year. So all of the therapeutic riding organizations around Houston will bring their people in and their horses in and put on a horse show so that they have those people have the ability to compete in a horse show. So it's a very special thing to go watch, and the public is welcome to come see it.
Wow. Yeah, that was going to be one of my next questions was, you know, like you said, being a volunteer, you're able to give back, feel like you're making a difference. The organization as a whole is also giving back tremendously. Like you said, Anne, it's one of the biggest, you know, philanthropic organizations in the country. You know, can you all talk about ways that the rodeo is giving back?
So we surpassed $600 million this year in dollars donated back to the youth of Texas. So we generally give about $22 million in scholarships per year. Yeah, that's just impactful in and of itself. What else, Anne? The commitment to the city is also impactful.
Yeah. So I think it was the last study that they did was from 2019, and it was $390 million that the rodeo brought into the Houston community. In addition to that, it was like 5,100 jobs and then some. So it has a huge impact. It is impossible to get a hotel or like Ubers and a few other things when the rodeo's in town. So if you're planning on coming, you know, plan on getting your stuff early in terms of getting set up, because there's a lot of apartments that are around the rodeo that rent themselves out for the month to people, because people come in from all over Texas. Even if you've been a volunteer at the rodeo, a lot of times, even if you moved away, you come back and volunteer and you stay on your committee and you come back and you volunteer during the rodeo every year. And so a lot of people will rent the apartment while they're doing that.
In terms of giving back to Houston, I think on our prep call, you had mentioned during Hurricane Harvey, volunteers, rodeo volunteers being almost recruited, you know, but also very happy to help serve the city and work with the city during such a difficult time.
So the city, I think, has called us up twice that I'm familiar with, and they could have done it more often. But I know during Harvey, they utilized the volunteers of the rodeo because we have this organization hierarchy and everything put together and everybody's, you know, so into volunteering that they pulled us to volunteer over at George R. Brown and a couple of other places to help out. And then they did the same thing when they were starting to do the vaccines. They reached out to the rodeo volunteers and said, you know, can you come help us? We need to move people. We need to, you know, do logistics stuff and something that you're used to doing. Like, we help people park. We help people figure out how to queue up and get in line. And we keep them entertained while they're waiting in line for forever. It's always, you're very proud as a rodeo volunteer when, you know, another organization reaches out to you and asks you to help.
You mentioned there's 110 committees. So let's say someone does want to, they listen to this podcast, they're inspired, and they do want to, you know, join the rodeo as a volunteer. What? How do they siphon through all the different committees? How do you sign up? Is it a multi-year process? Can you all talk a little bit about that?
So the first thing to do is to become a member of the rodeo, and that's pretty easy. You can just go to the rodeo's website, click on the membership site, and sign up to be a member.
So the rodeo website is hlsr.com, so Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo.com.
Once you become a member, then you'll be able to view the committees that have openings. So this would be after May 1st. So that's when the changeover happens. So sometime in May, you can become a member. Then you can log in and see which committees are available. And, you know, you can select up to six at a time to say that you're interested. And then those committees will contact you to go through an interview process. Every committee is a little bit different. And you'll be able to determine, you know, what the requirements are when you volunteer, what's it like, and see if that's going to be a good fit for you. And I'd also say, if at first you don't succeed, try again in two instances. So first, if you really have your eyes set on one committee and you don't get in the first year, a lot of committees have a lot of demand and there's just not enough spots for everybody. So, you know, try again the following year. And then on the other side, if you get on a committee and it's kind of not your tribe and you're not vibing with it, find another committee. Because I know when I first started, I was the very first committee I was on was on the safety committee. And it was made up mostly of like EMS people and firefighters. And I was thinking, what am I doing here? These are not my people. And then I was on transportation, which was fun, but it was hard. You know, it was 10-hour shifts during the rodeo and you were out in the elements and it was a lot of crowd control. And as my 5'2" person with not a loud voice, I'm not so good at crowd control. So again, I was on that committee for about 2 years and it wasn't really resonating. And then I found the Trailblazer. Actually, thanks to Anne, it's my group. It's my family. So, you know, third time was a charm. So just stick with it. You'll, like Anne said, with 110 committees, there's something for everybody.
I would say, too, to add to that, it's like, talk to your friends. You know, ask them if they know anybody that's involved with the rodeo, that volunteers at the rodeo. What committee are they on? What do they do? You know, ask around and get some suggestions from other people that are within your sphere, because chances are if they liked it, you might like it. There's so many different committees. There's gatekeeper committees. Those are the people that are taking your tickets when you come to the show, right? Transportation. I have a lot of friends on transportation. They love that committee.
Absolutely.
Right? There's the DNA committee or directions and assistance, and they just tell people, you know, answer questions to the public as they come into the show and offer up our daily guide. That's the other thing that we wanted to make sure we mentioned is when you go, you know, if you're looking for what's happening at the rodeo, if you go online to hlsr.com or rodeohouston.com, either way, we'll get you there. There is a daily list of all the activities that are happening every day at the rodeo. So it's amazing. Every year, I mean, I've been doing this for over 25 years, and I still find things I didn't know we did. I don't know about you, Crystal, but it's like every year I'm like, I didn't know we did that. So yeah, I'm always looking for new things that the show can offer.
I think last year there was a game that you could play in the rodeo app, and you just had to go to several different little areas around the rodeo and scan the QR code.
And scavenger hunt.
It was a scavenger hunt. And then when you were done, there was a tent over, you know, near the carnival, and they gave you a little bag of swag. And so I was so excited. And then I didn't read the instructions really well. And so I thought I had 3 weeks to do it all, but it reset every week. And so I went back during the second week, I'm like, wait, I went to all these places already. And so I had to redo them. But it's still fun. And again, it took me to the arena, which I rarely go to the arena, but that's where the llamas are, and the llamas are
fun. The llamas
are
so cute.
We even talked about the llama and alpaca committee, which I'm on.
I know.
I'm a rookie my first year. I don't really know what to expect, but I'm very excited.
It's precious.
See these regal creatures.
Precious.
These regal creatures that they dress up.
That they dress
in the funniest costumes.
Yeah.
So yeah.
One of my favorites was Ann and Andy, Raggedy Ann and Raggedy Andy.
Cute.
Oh my God, it was so
cute. I love that y'all have said that, because when I think of the rodeo, I think of the main, you know, kind of stadium, and I think of mutton busting, which for those people who don't know, we put kids on sheep. The sheep run, don't worry, the kids are wearing helmets. It's always really, really great. But there's so much more. Y'all are talking about art, you're talking about quilts, you're talking about gates. You know, there's just so much more that the rodeo has to offer, that the students affiliated with the rodeo have to offer. Okay, let's talk show. Let's talk dates. It's coming up. Crystal, you mentioned some of the pre-show events. Have we missed those?
No, those are all still coming up in late February. So let's see, the barbecue is February 23rd and 24th. Let's see, what day is the parade? Do you have that off the top of your head?
The parade's going to be the 24th.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah, it's that Saturday.
It's the Saturday.
The Saturday of the barbecue.
In between, barbecue and between cook-off and before the show starts. And then the show starts the following Tuesday.
Wow, okay, so late February.
So February 28th through March 19th are the dates of the 20 days of the show.
And then the musical lineup just came out. So who are y'all excited to see?
So Luke Bryan is my boyfriend, in case y'all didn't know. He comes by.
She claims him every time.
He sings directly to me. And then he comes off stage. He walks across the dirt. He comes right over to me and he holds my hand. So this is why I think he's in love with me. So I do go see Luke Bryan every year. I'm looking forward to, there's a lot of new artists that I'm not too familiar with.
Oh, and
this
talk
year.
About what you do, because I love the way that you handle looking at the artists that you don't know.
So I make a Spotify playlist and I go through and I know who, kind of pick out who I think I'm going to go see. And I add, their top five songs or so to my playlist. And so I'm listening to all my rodeo entertainers from now through rodeo. So those ones that I'm not too familiar with, at least I start to know their songs by the time their concert comes.
Oh my gosh. So Jonas Brothers, you've been listening to?
Yes, yeah. I've been listening to Jonas Brothers. My daughter raised her hand for that one. She already called her friend. So I've given away two tickets for that. So, and Nickelback, it's so
Zac
interesting.
Zac Brown Band.
The genre.
Eric Church.
Is really,
yeah. It's very fun. The other thing too I'm waiting for is the list of the people that are going to play over at our honky tonk, which is the Hideout, right? So we have our own honky tonk. A lot of people don't know that, but it's there's a party inside the party at the rodeo, this huge tent that's over near the horse arena. And so they haven't put up that list yet, or the list of the up-and-coming artists that are also going to be playing in a variety of different spots all over the rodeo. So you can run into a lot of music and some really interesting music and really interesting artists.
Yeah. There's some really cool artists that play in the wine garden. And then if you're a volunteer, there's also chorale clubs throughout the stadium and the NRG Center.
What's a chorale club?
So Ann talked about the Hideout, which is the honky tonk for everybody. It's open to the public. But if you're a volunteer, the chorale clubs are basically your honky tonks that are just for the volunteers. And I think there's about six of them around the campus. And there's a lot of great bands that play in those as well. Horizon Band is one of my favorite. My husband and I like to dance to them. So there's a few that are there and upstairs in the Reliance Center. And there's a couple that are in the stadium. So between those and the performers in the wine garden and the performers on the stage at the junction in the carnival and at the Hideout,
there's music
lots
everywhere.
Of music everywhere and lots of up and coming musicians. Speaking of up and coming, Taylor Swift performed at the rodeo back when she was new, as did Beyonce. So you never know who's going to take off from the rodeo and become the next big thing.
Next big thing.
We haven't really talked about food. A random question I have was, remember The Ranch, that restaurant that was so good? Is that coming back this year? It's always been slammed, but it's been so good.
And that's relatively new. I haven't made it there yet, so...
It's 2 years old, I think, at this point. Yes, but they're back. But I will say, if you're coming to the rodeo, there is a place on the rodeo website that talks about food. And there's always a contest to see what our favorite foods are. So just to give you a quick little list, right? So the deep fried cookie dough was a big hit. Deep fried lasagna roll. A pickle pizza on a stick. Say that three times. There were... Deep-fried BLT, one of my favorites. A barbecue sundae, which I didn't find, but I'm going to track it down this year. The loaded pork belly fries and deep-fried bread pudding. So if you notice a little bit of a theme in the deep-fried land, so please don't bring your diet to the rodeo because you're not going to be happy. But the food is amazing. There's so many different food vendors that are out there in between the center and the dome. Is a huge food court with a variety of different restaurants that are here in Houston that come out and feed the folks at the rodeo.
And they enter a contest too. So they submit their food items and the rodeo votes on them and they have foodie awards. And you can find that information in the app. So if you want to go sample the top three best fair foods or the top three best desserts, and you can find those in the apps and it'll tell you where to find them on the campus. My favorite food, Last year was when the Wine Garden was doing brunch on Sundays. They were doing jazz brunch on Sundays. I think I ended up going to eat all three Sundays. But one of those Sundays, they had a food truck out there that had the best beignets I've ever had. My friend had chicken and waffles.
Again, bring your diet.
That was like the best breakfast food I've ever had in my life. So I'm looking for, hopefully they do that again.
There's over 300 vendors also. So when we were talking earlier about all the different parts, they're shopping at the rodeo for everything you could possibly imagine.
I got a cowboy hat last year. I forgot.
Any type of Western wear is out there, but also you can, you know, buy an outdoor grill. You can, you know, you can buy a tractor. You can buy a tractor.
And a mattress.
And a massage chair, which was to die for. And then there's, you know, jewelry. There's a lot of artists that come and that, you know, do their own jewelry, Native American artists, a variety of different people. You can get handmade belts. They will make them, and they'll make them that day, and you walk away with them, and they'll custom do them for you.
And you can order a custom-made belt buckle to go with that belt.
Yes, you can.
I ordered one for my husband. That's what he got for Christmas. He was very excited.
Oh, cool.
Oh, like a one-stop shop. Okay, last question. Y'all mentioned the Wine Garden a few times. Tell us more about that. What is the Wine Garden?
So the rodeo does this amazing wine contest.
World's largest wine contest.
And it takes all year. It goes all year round where, you know, they're recruiting wineries and judges, and they have the contest and they have the celebrations that go along with that. And then during the rodeo, there is an area where they have the concessions set up with the wine and a lot of tables and chairs and a lot of separate little stages for the entertainers. And it's just a great place to hang out. Get there early so you can get good parking and then go hang out at the Wine Garden until you're ready to go make your way into the stadium is a great way to spend some time.
Yeah, so the international wines, as well as Texas wines, as well as California, it's like all over the place. And the top 75 winners are what they serve at the Wine Garden. And if you can buy it by the glass or by a bottle. If you buy the bottle, you get a couple of glasses to take home with you that are our rodeo glasses.
So fun. I've had some fun nights at the Wine Garden. So, and I know I'm not the only one. Okay, well, as we start wrapping up, do y'all have any closing remarks, any takeaways that you want listeners to have? Again, there's so much, but I think, you know, y'all hit on a lot of really key salient points.
I would give you a couple of special days that you should know about that the rodeo has, right? So we have an Armed Forces Appreciation Day this year. It's always the first Wednesday of the show. So that's on February 28th. We have all of the, there's an actual committee that I'm on called the Armed Forces Appreciation. We bring in the families of active military to come in and celebrate them. And there's also recruiting re-up, the recruits that are going to re-up, take their pledge there at the show on the grounds, which is very, you know, special to see. And then there's Family Wednesdays. So if you're a senior over the age of 60 or a child under the age 12 and under, before noon, you can get in for free. And that's the first and the third Wednesday. And the middle Wednesday, anybody can get in for free before noon. So we're, you know, it's a very family-friendly, budget-friendly type of organization. And then there's a Black Heritage Day on March 1st, a First Responders Day on March 4th, and a Volunteer Appreciation Day on March 7th, which we're looking forward to is Boots and Bubbles, I think they're doing. And then Go Tejano Day on the 10th. So lots of specialty days. So if you're looking, you know, to come out to the rodeo, you might want to consider, you know, tailoring your visit around one of those days.
I'd also say, you know, the rodeo really focuses on it being a family-friendly event. And I mean, that's even in their mission statement that it's a family-friendly experience. So if you are bringing your kids or young ones out, I would recommend buying your tickets, your carnival tickets now. If you buy them before the rodeo starts, so by cook-off, you get them at half price. You can actually just go on the rodeo website and buy those half-price carnival tickets. So that's a good thing to do in advance. And then one of the traditions I have with my daughter, I've been taking her every year since she was in preschool, and she, as a little girl, really liked Fun on the Farm, which is just a fun little kind of maze that you go through and you play, plant all the vegetables, and then you harvest the vegetables, and you harvest the cotton, and then you take it to the general store, and you sell it, and then you get a prize for doing all your hard farmer work. And so my daughter is now a senior in high school, and she still likes to go to Fun on the Farm every time we go. So, and that's now part of my horticulture committee, so it's full circle for me.
And don't miss the petting zoos. Always a wonderful experience to go hang around small critters and small kids.
So fun. I mean, again, there's just so much for everyone. Well, thank you both so much for your time. I'm so excited. I'm excited for the rodeo, but it's also been so gratifying to hear more about how the rodeo is giving back, what it's done for the city of Houston. So it makes me very proud to be a volunteer and a Houstonian. So thank
and
you.
Welcome to the rodeo family.
I know. Thank you. Yes. I'll report back after my first llama and alpaca costume show. But thanks to all of our listeners for joining. This has been another episode of Deep Roots Forward Thinking. I'm your host, Liz DeMontron, signing off. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.